you want to start working with blockchain tomorrow, these are the like five things you need to be aware of and you need to do. So it's like a manual almost. And I would say it's probably the only manual out there for social businesses.
Welcome back to the Thesis Talks. We're here today with Julia, who will tell us more about her thesis on blockchain.
My master's thesis topic title is Blockchain for Good, Critical View on Current and Potential Use. It is sort of a manual for both the tech companies and the social businesses that would like to work with blockchain for social good. It's critical because I take not only just like a business perspective, like how should they do it, what are the best ways, but also I have a lot of like critique about how it's being done and a lot of sort of caution about what could go wrong in the future.
For those who not really understand blockchain, could you maybe in 10 seconds or summarize what blockchain is?
Yeah, so blockchain is a distributed ledger, which means that it's basically like a record-keeping system that exists across, it's distributed because it exists across like thousands of different entities, whether it's phones or computers or whatever. Entities that can be connected to the internet in some way. And this distributed ledger can be used to transact any kind of digital information, like ID, like anything that can be put into a number, basically. So ID or like value that is represented by, again, numbers. And blockchain is then often used to create tokens, which is what Bitcoin is. It's a representation of some kind of value that you can then sell on. So it's all kind of like a business, but like a global business that doesn't have like one owner anymore. It has a creator, but doesn't have an owner. And so it makes for like a really interesting like unit of analysis. I use this one quote in my thesis, which was like, technology is neither good nor bad, neither is it neutral.
You said that you use the Pestle analysis.
Yeah.
And I think that's also what brings in, you know, the whole environment from all perspectives.
So exactly.
Can quickly say what it is.
So the PESTEL stands for political, economical, social, technological, environmental, and legal. And when you cover them in a business context, you cover everything that you need to know in order to assess whether a product or a service could potentially be successful. And so because I looked at blockchain kind of in a almost like as if it was a product or a service or a business, I could use this framework.
I know you from classes, you've been into blockchain for a while. So what sparked your motivation interest in blockchain? Why blockchain for you? What do you think is so special about it especially for social good?
I think it's just one of those things that just happened. Like I don't, you know, it's not like I sat down one day and I decided now I want to be interested in this. I got exposed to it through different people. And I think that's always what happens to me. I meet different people at different times that tell me about the same thing. And then I'm like, okay, if these four different people that are actually like doing different things are all thinking about this one topic, maybe there's something about it. Maybe I should like look into it. And that was like a few years ago. That was like when I was living in Munich still. And I watched this TED Talk. I went in and I actually actively sat down and I opened TED and I typed in blockchain. I was like, I want to find out what this is. And so from there on, it was just like a rabbit hole, just got into it. And the more blockchain is the one topic that I've been interested in that keeps getting me more and more interested, like the more I investigate,
mm-hmm.
because it's just so broad. And that's why it's also important to talk about it for social use, because the media right now, and also what you hear most here on CBS, it is how can we make processes as big companies faster and better, and how can we make more money with this, which is what blockchain is mostly used for. And so I was like, there are also people thinking about it in relation to social projects.
All right, let's dive into your
opportunities and challenges.
Okay, I created like opportunities and challenges for social businesses who would like to work with blockchain. I take the SDGs and then I look at each of the SDGs and then I try and fill in like how can blockchain be used to solve them, and like what are the aspects of blockchain that fit well with some of the problems that we need to solve. And there it's like, okay, fine, there are some things like transparency, like offers credibility to some social businesses that are trying to like that are funds based. So it removes a lot of the reporting issues that they have. The World Food Programme is using blockchain quite successfully in doing exactly that. Obviously, they deal with money being sent across borders. And then once the money has been sent across the border, it arrives at some kind of bank. And then this bank has to be like trusted. And then often these banks are like corrupted and they ask them to pay money to get their money out. And I mean, there are just like a million things that can go wrong. And especially when you have to report that that money is spent properly. So for those kind of things, there's a lot of opportunities. So there's a lot of benefits in that kind of superficial realm, I would say, because it wouldn't necessarily change the operational structure of these businesses in the end. So it's not really that revolutionary. Like, it's kind of more, I use this sentence, it's more evolutionary than it is revolutionary, because it helps the company sort of develop in new ways, but it doesn't necessarily change the way that the companies are. Mm-hmm. Or companies, I mean, like social businesses, NGOs. But for example, there is the 16.1, which is all people should have an identity by 2030 or something. For that, blockchain is like the number one probably tool for that, because you can very easily give people an identity on blockchain. And it can be stored in a safe way and used internationally. The only issue is that there's still, like, identity is still very broad. I find that a critique point of the SDGs. Because also just reading about identity from my paper, I realized, like, there is transactional identity, the kind of identity that you need to, like, send money. Then there's, like, national identity. There's, like, digital identity. There's ownership identity. There's, like, all these different types in legal terms. So when you say, like, someone should have an identity, it's like, what kind?
Is there one landscape that you saw is most challenging for blockchain?
Yeah, I think the technological is actually the most challenging, because it's, so the technological, with that I mean the actual blockchain space as a technology.
Okay.
Because it's really, it's just so hard to predict which direction things will go in with the development of the technology, because there's so many different people involved and there's no framework. People often compare the development of blockchain to the development of the internet. It's just very different in the sense that the internet was developed in a very confined time and space. So the HTTP protocol was developed like by a few hundred people maybe, and they were all sitting like quite close to each other physically, and they were all talking to each other all the time. And then you have something like the blockchain, which is being developed globally by so many people, and no one knows who is who, and it's all just like one big mess.
Yeah.
So you can't really predict what's going to happen. So I have quite a pessimistic view on how it's going to end, because I see the tendencies, and they're mostly in the closing up part, like the privatization of blockchain. With any good thing comes people, comes money.
But it must also be so difficult in a globalized era where everyone is pulling in their own direction.
There are quite a few blockchain people who try and sit at the table with people on like an EU level to discuss these kind of developments. But then again, right, like even if you have like the five top blockchain people in Europe sit down at a table with some regulators, you'll have some blockchain people in China and in the US doing their own thing. So how are you gonna catch those and slow them down? It's weird.
How far are we with the regulations in EU regarding blockchain?
There is regulation on how you're allowed to use it as a company, but not so much as how you're allowed to use it as a private person.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. When you read the latest advice from the EU, they have this commission that deals with like new technology and stuff. They basically say like, we take every single issue up on a case-to-case basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we don't have like any kind of framework.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. It's that like the Wild West.
Yeah. Like just do whatever and then we gotta see afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was actually a guy, I went to this discussion the other day. So there was a panel and then one of the guys in the panel was from the Danish tax authorities who has worked with blockchain a lot and knows blockchain quite well. And so they were kind of asking him like, so what is the future going to be like? And at some point this one guy was like, but do we even need you? Like, do we even need regulators from the government? Like, if the technology keeps developing and things keep happening, how can you keep up? And then he actually said, well, you do because you're still making so many mistakes that, you know, it's good that there is someone who can save your ass basically whenever you do, you know, because that's the government is not anti new technology.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to make sure that it is not being used in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think regulation is still super, super important.
All right. And now we come to the manual.
You just really want to get to the manual.
Yeah. It sounds so interesting because also, I mean, I don't know much about blockchain, but
yeah,
imagine
yeah.
tomorrow I want to do a social course and blockchain makes the most sense. What
yeah.
do I do?
Yeah. I mean, the manual is kind of a summary of everything. There's like 7 steps and then there's like loops. If yes here, then no. And then you go back to the previous one. So the steps are basically like, you assess and you map out the infrastructure that you already have. You look at where blockchain fits in. And there I also describe like, okay, if you're a social business, these are like usually the issues that you need to solve. And then you, for each issue that you want to solve, you map onto that what exactly element of blockchain helps with that issue. And then you take it to the next step and then you see, okay, how would you integrate it? And would any, and at that point you also start thinking about, would any other technology be able to solve that issue as well? If not, then you continue and then you start solving issue by issue. And then at the end, you have to then run a pilot and then see if there are any improvements. And also if you want to tokenize stuff, like that's the big one. If you want to create a token, like a currency or some sort of representation of value, then you need to really think about the purpose of that token. So not just what problem will it solve, but what will the future look like if this token is in use? If 1,000 people use this on a daily basis, what's going to happen in 5 years? How will these people's lives change if they do that?
You said in our first recording, which we don't have anymore, that the Western world creates normally blockchains for developing countries, and
yeah.
that's the problem, that they're not consider the environment and the needs.
Yeah,
what you explain now sounds a little bit, and maybe I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
like design thinking, human centered.
Yeah.
Could you connect it to that?
Yeah,
like
totally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And also further, like sort of ethnographic, anthropological, social research. So having, like, I was interviewing this one Danish company, like always having local representation. They were working in Eastern Africa, Northeastern Africa. And she said when they go there as white people, they literally get like treated as royals. And she said that you just carry so much power in those places that you can be so not aware of. And you're not on an eye-to-eye level with people. And you need to be when you want to design a solution for them. So, yeah, and also to get access into how these people live, it's like it can take months, you know. You can't just show up with a notepad and be like, okay, so tell me how you live, you know. It's like it takes time because there are so many things that are not for our untrained eyes. Like we can't see the way that they interact because, for example, money transfer across borders in some African countries happens through the bus drivers. So family members will give money to the bus driver that drives from one country to another, and he will then deliver it to the family in the other country. Maybe you wouldn't see that if you like sat down with someone and asked them like, so how does your country work?
You touched upon what's missing in like research and guidelines and regulations. So
mm-hmm.
what do you think is like specifically needed for future research?
I think it's the question of how can we get as many people heard in the discussion as possible, and what are the barriers for adoption? because that's one of the issues I stumble across most, was that a lot of technologies or solutions, when they are developed properly, they often don't consider the purely business part of like getting users. And so either they're like super businessy and the only focus they have is making money and they just want to get as many users as quickly as possible, or they are like too humanitarian and they only focus on all the social stuff. So having like the combination of those two would be really good. Like, how do we make people use good technology? And also, blockchains on a big scale require a lot of interdisciplinary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand economic models, for example, or network theory. To understand how tokens work, you need to understand social movements. You need to understand, you know, there's a lot of depth because it's so complicated.
From what we hear every day, blockchain is so hyped, and but in a positive way.
Mm.
It's like, this is the new technology that's solving all the issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's necessary for someone who knows about it to step up and say, hey, this is not all good. And
yeah, I mean, it's not, it's not a hype, you know, like, for most people. It's just a hype for like the people who earn money from it. Like, it's not like you and I won't feel the benefit of blockchain, and then why is it such a good technology? Again, like, who are the users? It's, I mean, oh, I don't want to bash blockchain. Blockchain can be used for really good stuff.
Mm.
It just needs to happen. And I hope it will. Read it from very like many different perspectives. That's the only thing I can say. There is no one person in the field who knows what it is. So, yeah.
So, with that, I say thank you for coming today.
Thanks.
And thank you to your listeners for tuning in to the Thesis Talks by OIE.